the captain's chair. This is the captain speaking. It's stardate 07011202. And it is you have not tuned into a Star Trek podcast. This is actually just Binary Jazz. This is my new, if you're watching, which you're probably not because it's a podcast and most people don't watch podcasts, but every once in a while one person will click on it for about 5 minutes and or less, and maybe leave a comment that says great. And if you are that person, you will see that there is a new background behind me. But if you are not, then just imagine me and imagine all of us really traversing the galaxy in a spaceship shaped like a bumblebee. It's Binary Jazz. There are three of us. I am one. I'm Jazz Sequence on the internet. I'm Chris in real life. There is number two. My number two is Gary, Binary Gary, on the internet. And number zero is Allison Plus, who is Allison in real life. And this is a show where we just talk about some shit. And sometimes Allison brings us a topic and we try to figure out what that topic might be. Yeah, that's the gig. You can send in your topics or questions to us by going to the website binaryjazz.us, and there's a contact form there, or you can hit us up on Twitter @binaryjazz. Not binary @binaryjazz. Just
that too. Oh, yes. We have a visitor today.
Yeah.
Well, open introduce access, our guest.
Open access means that I might get visitors. This is Juniper. She is our youngest cat. Hold on, Juniper.
Looks like she's figuring out some of the wall angles.
Oh my goodness. I want to hug that cat.
She is a very loud purr, but she's not doing it right now. She's more interested in you.
Look at that. She's like, what is on the screen? I met two cats on Saturday night. Some friends of ours, we went over to their house for dinner. My sister-in-law watched the kids, which was kind of magical. We had like 21 hours without our children.
21 hours?
Yeah. Who's counting?
Very specific amount of time.
So met, they have a beautiful long hair named Rex. And then they have Bo, who is like the... Bo is the inverse of Rex, like color-wise, like black with like a white spot. Juniper is white with a black spot, but then an extra black spot on the head. But both lovely, sociable, beautiful cats. I haven't had a cat on a call in a while. Look at that.
This is the part of the show where we just quietly... watch my cat for a few minutes.
You know what? That's how the world is going right now. This is the most peaceful moment I've had in weeks.
It's sort of a, it's kind of ASMR, which is Binary Jazz related. So before the call, I had to make it a point to pull out my my Ganesh to remove obstacles and my Buddha to remind me to stay focused and calm and put them on my desk because they had not made it to the desk yet.
Mm-hmm. It's Monday. Yeah, and you need all this.
Yes, yes.
And also,
oh my gosh,
gravity.
So it's a spacecraft. Like, it really looks like. Yes. I want an office with no gravity.
No work would get done, Gary.
That's true.
Who cares? At that point.
Yeah, that's true.
Who cares at that point? How is everyone doing? We haven't spoken in person. Well, I guess we haven't spoken in Zoom in person in 2 weeks? In 2 weeks? Yeah.
What? Yeah. It's been okay. It's been a little bit hectic around here with closing on a house and moving yeah.
The old house is sold as well?
No.
Oh.
No, we need to sell the old house because mm-hmm. we do not want to pay the mortgage on this mm-hmm. house without having first put that money on this mortgage. Mm-hmm. So Aaron's actually over there right now painting. We need to paint that place. We have a contractor that's hopefully going to start this week to update the kitchen. I just got in touch with carpet people to replace the carpets in the kids' rooms, which are just trashed. And then we still have a few like just little things over there, like probably like, I mean, it you think it's like a day's worth of moving, but like a lot of it is just like random shit. And so it's all this little stuff. You know, Aaron and I's closet is about half empty. Just a whole lot of little stuff. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff downstairs that just needs to be pulled out and then put in a big trash pile. So there's still some stuff that needs to be done, and we're hoping to get it done in the next couple of weeks and then list as quickly as we can.
Gotcha. I wasn't sure like what where the market is these days. Like if you could do the old like, oh, you can't do the old like list it and be like, you didn't get to like send an inspector. Here's seven pictures. Good luck.
I mean, we'll see. There's still a shortage of houses, but there are fewer buyers because people are being scared off by the rising interest rates. Mm-hmm. And just deciding not to do the stupid thing that we did.
Someone has to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Musical chairs.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
eventually someone's holding the bag with extra houses.
The thing is that Utah and Salt Lake City in particular has been getting for years lots of transplants from other places because Utah is and continues to be far cheaper to live if your job allows you to work remotely than anywhere else, and while still having a like tech presence, seeing good food, like a downtown, and our old house is, you know, 5 minutes from downtown. So,
is it walkable to downtown?
It's, I would say it's just outside of what I would consider to be walkable to downtown, but there's public transportation and there's, you know, stupid scooters all over the place. It wouldn't take long to get to downtown.
What a weird branding choice that is.
Yeah.
Stupid.
You could.
It's not wrong.
We're so I would say the north edge of downtown is where the temple is, and the temple is definitely you could definitely walk to the temple. And by the temple, I mean the Salt Lake City, temple of the Church of the Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints people.
It's quite the collective, isn't it?
Yeah. But like that sort of marks like kind of the northern boundary of what is considered to be downtown, and you could definitely walk there from the house. And you can walk to the Capitol from downtown too if you want to go protest the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints. Their involvement in politics.
It's not the same building, but
yeah, no.
There's an underground tunnel connecting the two.
You know, so originally in Salt Lake City, the building that is used for City Hall.
I feel like I just watched Chris Short Circuit.
the building that is used as City Hall for City Council meetings was, I believe, the former Capitol building. And on that building, when they built it to essentially rival the temple, to the point that they put a little golden statue on the highest spire to be to sort of not mirror, but to sort of like contrast the statue of Moroni, which is the I guess saint that is on top of the Salt Lake City temple, and really all major temples, not wards, but temples.
You said Moroni?
Moroni.
I mm-hmm. actually know what Moroni is the saint of.
Oh.
Americanized Italian food.
And they did that because they wanted to explicitly create a, they didn't want the temple to outshine sort of city politics, essentially, or state, you know, state politics. They wanted it to be distinct and equal and rival to, and there was a big conflict when it was built about between sort of church and state, and that was represented when they built the temple. So it's so the original, so that building is a really old, really nice looking building that kind of does look like a the temple. So yeah, oh. it's the underground tunnels probably don't exist because there has been this historic like, no, you can't get those two things involved, but like it's more in words than actions, because obviously, and like most of, you know, Utah legislature is LDS.
Mm-hmm.
There's underground tunnels at Disneyland, if that's any consolation.
Yeah I always wonder about like what, like why though.
You've certainly run into the weird stories though, like people tell, like about horrible things in the tunnels underneath Disneyland and Disney World in Florida also has
it's
tunnels
just
underneath.
Faster.
Is it? I guess, yeah. So Aaron's parents recently learned from some friends of theirs that so they had some friends who had like a trap door in their basement, or like a door in their basement. I don't know if it was a trap door, and they'd never gone through the door. I don't think I've told this story. Maybe I did. They'd never gone through the door. They didn't know what the door was for. It was just one of those things that was just there, and they just like, you know, whatever. It's probably crawl space or whatever. So they finally decided, maybe when they're getting ready to sell the house, maybe not. But they finally decided to go through the door to see what's on the other side, and they ended up in their neighbor's basement because it was a secret polygamy door.
Right.
So you know, the person who built the tunnel had, you know, multiple wives, presumably, and one of them lived in the next house, and that was the tunnel, so that they could practice their polygamy in a way that was more discreet. And their neighbors didn't know about it either.
I can't imagine having a door and not investigating.
I mean, yeah, I agree. How do you have this door and not look through it?
When we
could go so many exciting places too. You could find out you have a whole, I don't know,
you could
whole
find out you have a polygamy door. Yeah, that's true.
We definitely, every house we looked at, I opened every door, especially the weird ones going to the attic, because you never know what's sitting. Like, is there like a half finished project in there, or, you know, dead body?
We have
polygamists.
So our bedroom is right over there. Chris points to his left. So it's upstairs in this sort of loft attic space, and so the bedroom has ceilings like this too, not quite as close as these two are to me, so on one end of the room there is a door that opens up into crawl space, and on the other end there is two doors that open up into a sort of finished crawl space. It has like a carpet in there and you can like use it as storage, but the other space is just like, you know, insulation or whatever. But in that closed door crawl space area, I found an old electric typewriter.
Hey,
like, is it electric?
Maybe it has the little ball. And so yeah, it's a that was a, but it is now inaccessible because we put the bed in front of that door. But should we move that bed, then we can recover the electric typewriter that came with the house.
And in my office is supposed to be a bedroom, and it has a closet, And it actually used to connect to the closet in the adjacent room. So you could walk through.
You could walk through the closet.
The closet to get to the other room, which we were like, that's fun.
Like the old polygamous closet. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's where the what is it? 3 minutes of heaven room is that closet. is it 3 minutes?
Turns into like 37 seconds.
I think it's seven. Yeah. No, yeah, I think 30 seconds is a lot more realistic for the age group that game is playing.
Also true. If any heaven is attained at all. But then we built a Murphy bed and now it's blocked off. It's like just closet, which is less exciting. But I think Robin was more worried about me playing weird pranks and jumping out and scaring people because I was very like thrilled by the concept of just like really creeping people out in that room.
And he didn't lean into that? Come on, Robin.
Well, no, because I think he's worried that he would be the I would be the culprit and he would be the one being frightened.
I mean, still though.
Right? It's good time.
Feed into that creativity.
Yeah, guest room took precedent.
I am disappointed on your behalf.
There is like a weird attic space above my room, which we need to explore more. It's like very part insulated, but like maybe we could build it into something. I don't know. Anyway, that's a future project idea. That's not a this year project idea.
That's how I feel about the upstairs. Like eventually I'm going to do something up here.
Well, so first things first, not... you're going to frame that Atlantis poster.
I know.
Yeah, right?
I know.
Yeah, the problem with this space, I really do like the walls. Like, you know, we like spaces like this where it's like, and most people, like, I think, freak out about stuff like this. This is actually less of a desirable house than we think probably it should have been because it's in a very... nice neighborhood. It was, you know, like it had all the same things as a lot of the places that we were looking at. But it has this upstairs with these things, and it also doesn't have central air. It has a swamp cooler back there. But I mean,
does the rest of the house have central air? Hmm. Okay.
But the swamp cooler is right above the stairs, and the stairs are stacked, and the stairs going upstairs are open. It does a pretty good job of keeping most of the place pretty cool.
Yeah.
It wasn't as in demand as we expected it to be. And we've seen this before in other places that also have weird sort of attic spaces that have been finished because I guess the slanty walls freak people out. But like, we really like it, but like it does limit your options if I wanted to like put decoration on the wall of some kind. Like I can't hang the like pictures, the prints that I had behind me in the other place. I could like, you know, tape stuff if I wanted to do that, but if I wanted to be a little bit classier, I'm more limited.
Your tape days are gone, and that's
yeah
fine.
Right, yeah. the days of papering my walls with magazine posters probably ended when I left my home from high school.
Of course, flash forward 2 weeks from now, and you're just like,
yeah, just totally just like
collaging the walls.
All the pinups of Bret Michaels, and
you're like, I'm just making this space my own.
Yeah, definitely. And Sebastian Bach, I definitely need to revisit those days. So you hinted that you might have a topic for us this week. What is the topic for the week?
It's kind of like two sparring topics. So excellent. You can each one.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Fight over them.
Yeah. One is pathogenesis.
Pathogenesis.
And the other one is salutogenesis.
Salutogenesis. Chris, yeah. Pick your poison.
Well, first I need to spell them. So I have pathogenesis. Is pathogenesis.
Yes.
Okay. And salutogenesis, I'm assuming, is saluto and then genesis?
Yes. Okay.
And right. They're opposites. They're not opposites.
They're not necessarily opposites, but they are like a versus. They aren't allies, I would say.
Well, here's the thing. Because saluto is what you say in Italian when you're saying cheers. Saluto. So salutogenesis is quite obviously the genesis, the creation of a toast. It is how you formulate a toast. And so if they are opposing forces, I would say that salutogenesis is formulating a toast at maybe like a baby shower or a wedding or some sort of beginning of things, whereas pathogenesis, being the opposing factor, is how you would toast someone at a wake or a funeral or something, is how you would
like craft... more of a tribute toast.
Yes, exactly. It's how you would craft that you know, that speech.
Gary?
I mean, I think that's a valiant attempt, honestly. as is my custom, I'll break the words apart and come to the wrong conclusion.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So Genesis, of course, is the start, the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we covered that.
But you're talking about like at a wake, like the salutogenesis is the No, it was the creation of a
salutogenesis. Salutogenesis is when you're crafting a toast that you would give at a beginning sort of event, at a wedding or a baby shower or something. Something that, and pathogenesis is when you're crafting a toast or a speech that you would give at an ending sort of event.
Okay. So in both cases, the root relationship is that you're creating
some sort of speech. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. I'm totally spun around now in my head. Because in your case, there's like the double creation, like, I don't know. Well, patho.
So would a birthday be pathogenesis or salutogenesis?
I would say a birthday would be, that's a good, so a birthday would be salutogenesis. However, that's only because we celebrate birthdays at the end of completing that year, right? Like you don't celebrate your first birthday on the day that you were born. You celebrate your first birthday after having completed a year. So technically, a birthday speech should be pathogenesis because it's actually at the conclusion of the year, but in fact it is the beginning of the next year, so it's actually salutogenesis.
Wow.
So
that
I could
was,
even
that
come
was
up,
some fancy footwork.
I could even come up with a bullshit answer to that is overly complex and yet still makes sense to some degree about this bullshit thing that I just created. Yeah.
Pretty compelling.
Yeah.
I would say that this has not helped me in any way, shape, or form crafting my answer. Patho.
Uh-huh.
I would say pathological, right?
Sure, sure. You could say that.
Salutological isn't a thing, so I'm a little lost here. But then maybe I should back up and say maybe it's not pathological. Maybe it's literally like path, like a route. Way to get somewhere. So similar to your idea, pathogenesis is creating a set of directions or a policy or procedures.
Okay.
Salutogenesis is in hindsight capturing the steps you took.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
So salutogenesis is likely going to be more accurate. Pathogenesis is more optimistic. So the genesis is pessimistic.
So let's bring it to something completely irrelevant and unnecessary.
We already have, but go on.
if we put these into agile framework terms.
Yes. Oh God, yes. Yeah. I love this.
Pathogenesis would represent the sort of sprint planning, the planning phase, or maybe the road mapping phase of a project, whereas salutogenesis would represent the retrospective part of the process or the sprint. So as you are, you're documenting.
Yeah, why not? Sure.
From the end, documenting like where, how we got to where we are.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not that convinced of my answer. I'm not, just not willing to like jump in whole hog and confirm. It's just, it's, yeah. What you described matches what I was trying to suggest, which is wrong.
Sure.
That's, yeah.
Okay. Well, we have reached that time already to find out what these words actually mean.
Don't forget, we spent the first third of the show in space. So
it's true. Well, we're all actually still in space.
Yeah. I wish I was more in space.
More in space.
As I gaze wistfully out the window at the sky.
I imagine you must have, but have you read a lot of Ray Bradbury?
Actually, not as much as you'd think. No.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like you might really dig it.
I, when given the option of a book I can read, I often find myself going to like NASA history. I don't know how many more books I can stand though in NASA history. I feel like I've, like a lot of times I'm like, I know this story already. Sort of where I am, you know?
Anyway,
there we are.
Pathogenesis. You're just
building up the suspense, I think.
Yeah. Da, da, da. Pathogenesis is the treatment of disease. Mm-hmm. And salutogenesis is the creation of health. So one treats the thing that's wrong, and the other one is basically like the things you can do to contribute to good health.
Oh, well, that's nice. That does feel like a fun partnership.
So with salutogenesis, you're saying saluto to health.
Well, when you were talking about creating, I was like, oh, and it's like when you're cheering, you're usually, it's like good health, right?
Yeah, so
I
right.
was like, oh, it's like they're actually like closer than you'd think.
You're just waiting for me to make that connection of good health and good health.
We would have been waiting a while.
Yeah, no, that was never going to happen.
The 6-hour podcast version.
Did I tell you all we got fiber internet?
Oh, yeah. You did. Good.
Yeah.
How could you have ever lived without it?
I made it a lot of years without. Made it a lot of years without.
Who's your? I mean, is it like some local provider or is it?
It is. It's this company called Windstream.
Okay.
And they do like very rural phone service, so heavily subsidized, and you drive out into the farmlands and. Like they're the telephone lines. So
yeah.
I'm sure they're running on old AT&T copper. I don't know how any of that works, but or how they
I don't think well, I mean I guess you could do copper for over the long distances, but you'd still need to have some sort of an access point that is fast enough to do fiber to the home.
Yeah, I don't know where it terminates around here. But when they came to install it, like a guy came with a cherry picker truck and another pickup truck. And I'm like, oh, this is a thing. And he comes and knocks on the door and he's like, we actually already have a line running to your house. Can I see what it terminates into? Mm. And the house was already set up for it.
Already wired.
So literally he was like, let's follow this Cat 5 cable all the way to where my cable modem is hooked up. And he's like, can we just plug in your router? Yeah. And you're live.
That was easy. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This place, we had Google Fiber at the old house. This place already had Google Fiber hooked up. Google Fiber, so Google's not the best at their documentation. And when I moved, I contacted support and I said, I want to transfer service because there's no actual like process to move service other than talking to support. And they said something at the end to the effect of, when you are at the new place, you'll need to let us know so that we can turn on something, something, something. And I'm like, okay, fine. So we get to the new place and I plug everything in. I'm like, oh, we already have internet. Okay, great. And then I got an email from Google that says, here's what you need to do to set up your new service. And it was really vague on, like, it was all the setup stuff that we've already done, like plug in your thing and make sure it's working and get the Google Home app and like connect all your access points and all that stuff. It was really vague on like the after that part. So I never contacted Google.
We should have left it. I never contacted the Google.
And when
that sentence structure,
my son over the weekend downloaded the new update for Rainbow Six, and it was like 50 gigabytes, and he's downloading this and complaining about how slow it is. And I'm looking at download speeds and estimated times. He's like, it's going to take days, and it should have taken like a half hour. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Nothing is that fast for 50 gigs. Surely I've done internet support. Like nothing is that fast. And I went onto a download calculator. This is what your speed is now, and this is how long it's going to take. And it's a really big file. So like, whatever. But it wasn't until we tried to watch something while he was downloading stuff like on Netflix that I realized, hey, maybe there's something to this being too slow thing. And then I started doing like looked in my speed test history to see what we had historically gotten on Google Fiber. And it was like, 100-fold, 200, 300-fold less than what we should have been getting. So I had to contact Google Fiber, and they just like said, okay, you're done. flip the switch, turned it on, whatever. I don't know. And now we're back up. But I guess like the Google Fiber ports are live. So because like initially when they were selling it, they were like, oh yeah, there's free internet at like basically DSL speeds.
Yes, I remember that.
And then they just stopped advertising it. And I don't think they ever turned that off, because I think that if you do go into a home with a Google Fiber jack, that you can just plug in and get DSL speeds. That's what I've learned from this process, and just have internet for free.
Well, but, not for free. But you have the cost of the internet is providing Google access to everything.
Okay. Do. Yes.
That old thing.
Yeah, that old thing.
We had to change. So like our old provider was the cable company. So they had we had like a TV app that came with them, Spectrum. And so we were not going to have that. I had like Spectrum and Sling. I'm like, well, I need to have something, because like there's enough that the kids want to watch that requires like normal TV, which like whatever. So I'm like, all right, well, it looks like Google TV is my choice. So I signed for Google TV and I installed it on the Apple TV. And signed in and blah, blah, blah. And then I tried to watch it, and it was like, oh, you actually need to enable location services on the app so that we
know what local channels. Yeah.
But not the app on the Apple TV, the app on my phone. And I'm like, no, that ain't happening. Mm-hmm. So there's an old iPad mini I have for just these circumstances that does nothing but validate location. So. Which makes me like eccentric and weird, and I understand that. But I'm also like, Google doesn't need to know where I am.
I don't think it makes you eccentric and weird, though.
But everybody in the world. Okay, I guess we have to do.
And weird.
I'm just not okay with that. Like, no. I'm happy to share my location with the two of you, with Rhonda, with friends. But Google can fuck right off with that. No, there's no need.
Yeah, no, I guess allowing location services from your phone would then allow Google to continue to track your phone after you validated your location for the purpose of the Google TV app.
Well, it seems like you have to validate it every X number of days.
Whereas using your iPad mini that is presumably not mobile and is only staying inside the house is only giving it one point of data, which is, that's a valid.
And it's also not associated with anything else that happens, right? So it's not like, oh, now I have this Google, profile and tracking information that they've,
and it's also been looking at all the device apps ID that you're using.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
I look at recipes on there. So it's gonna think I'm like a
I amend my statement in saying that it is eccentric. It's slightly less eccentric. Well, I guess it's eccentric by our current standards of where our understanding and use of privacy is these days.
I just miss the anonymous internet. And I miss, or and I am disgusted with the
inherent.
Yes. Because coupled with that, there is this like accusation that like we must have been doing something wrong if you wanted the anonymous internet. I see. I just don't want
you to know my data. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need to. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to know, ask. Like, I'm happy to tell you all where I am or what my favorite type of cereal is or whatever weird search is. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's just Google. I don't trust it.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Special thanks to Serpiente Negra Ensemble for the use of their tracks for our intro and outro music. You can find them online at serpientenegra.bandcamp.com. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.